There's no adoration or love for the Father. Men say they love Him, but there is no love in their hearts for Yahweh. I want to read from John chapter 15. A few verses I want to read. I want to establish something here tonight. I'm not going to be long because I don't want to use the word I don't feel good. But I understand the churning of Yahweh's fire. And so I don't rely upon my emotions or feelings. I rely upon the unction and the fire that He pours down in my soul. Yahshua made a statement in John chapter 15. I want to begin reading at verse 18. He says, "If the world hate you, know ye that it hated me before you. There's a despite from the world. And you will know those that are worldly because they will have the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And they operate in those spirits. Disconcerting them. They want preeminence and glory. They think that what they do or what they offer far exceeds or is far above the measure of any other brother or sister." That's what they believe. They want preeminence. They want self-glory. He said, if they hate you, they've hated me before. They've hated you. He says, if ye were of the world would love his own. When the world shows great adoration for you, it's because you are of the world. The world simply loves their own. When there is a candid spirit between you and the world, those that walk in a spirit that is removed from the law of Yahweh's spirit, law of the spirit, which is Yahshua, dwelling in a man's soul, makes him free from the law of sin and death. He doesn't give his mind, his heart, his mouth over unto things that produce death down in his inward parts, where there's a separation. There's no fear of Yahweh. He does things without thought or consequences of those things. When a man operates in that spirit, there's no power of the life of the Father in that man. When a woman operates in that spirit, there's no anointing of his spirit dwelling in that one. He said, the world loved their own, but because ye are not of the world, you do not have the same aspiration or appetite of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. Specifically, I have elected you. Not according to your measure, your ability, what you offer or your gift. That wasn't the criteria that He called us or chose us. He said, I've simply chosen you because there was a command given unto him. He had instruction from one that charged him what things he should do. He said, therefore the world hateth you, for they know that you have a father, and he is not a natural man. His glory far exceeds the natural limitations of men. It is divine, it is heavenly, and it is spiritually. And we are marked by the same spirit, of the same anointing as Messiah, because we are birth of the same Father. He was the begotten of the Father's bosom. We have been birthed by that same anointing. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Do you understand that? If they, he said, have persecuted me, he said, they will also persecute you. It had to be a reason why he was persecuted. And if we read down in this text, we will see why he was persecuted. He said, if they had kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If they keep the things that I speak unto them, then they will also keep the things that you say unto them. But all these things will they do unto you. Listen to this. He said, everything that transpire, that they do unto you, they do unto you for my name's sake. He came in his Father's name. He said, they do it because of my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. They don't know the Father, what he said. They don't know Yahweh, because I am sent. In the authority, the might, the will, and the purpose of my Father's name. And these things I suffer for his name's sake. And that apostrophe S shows a possession there. And it's because he possessed that name. He said, you will suffer for this name's sake. Because they do not know the one that has sent me. I have come in his name to suffer for his name's sake. And because they don't know him, then you will suffer the same for my name's sake. For the sake of my name, you will suffer. We will hear the old saints would say, and elderly people, for the sake, and you must understand what the word sake mean. I know if I ask you all, you will come up with a different definition. But there is only one defined meaning, actually, what it truly represents here in Scripture. For the very purpose and the very cause, to the end of my name it is established, and it shall be the same. And he said, because of my name's sake, you shall suffer persecution, and men shall despise you. Because of my name's sake. The sake that I came in the Father's name for his sake. For the purpose to the end that his name may be established in me. That was the glory of Messiah. That the sure salvation of man was established in that body by the Father. Your sure Messiah is the hope that we have in this sure salvation from the Father. He has delivered unto us hope, faith to believe him, confidence to trust him. He said, but I warn you, because of my name's sake, you shall suffer persecution and much affliction. And the world shall hate you because they do not know this great Yahweh that has sent me. And they don't know him today. Men say they know him. They speak words as they know him. For if they loved him and they knew him, it is a sure thing they would do. They would keep his commandments. If a man says he loves me, and keeps not his commandments by commandments, he is a liar. And the truth is not in that man. So when one says that they love him, and they do not keep the laws of righteousness, then they are liars. And they have a perverted, demented mind and spirit. He said, they don't know me because they don't know the one that sent me. If they knew your way, they would know me. But because they don't know him, if he appeared in their very presence, they would know him. Now you ask yourself that question, would you truly know him if he appeared in your presence? And yet he says, where there are two or three gathered, in his name, there shall I also be in the midst. Do you understand the power of that? Do you not know that in order for this assembly to overcome this opposition of darkness in this hour, he must be in the midst? He was in the midst of the camp of Israel, a burning fire at night, and a cloud that led them by that day. He has not changed his mode of operandi. That's why we need the fire of this anointing in our vessels, full of oil, as the wise virgins, and they were pure, and their desire and their intent was sincere to please Yahweh. Men today, they're looking for those things that aspire their flesh. And they want men to aspire them carnally and naturally when it comes to the cleansing of their flesh and their spirit. They don't want any kind of reproof. They don't want any instructions. They don't want you to show them their wickedness, their vile, and their evil ways. They don't want that. So they have disdain for that, and they will despise you because of that. And they will seek to do you harm because you will reprove them and show them their iniquity and their sins. I don't believe that, Pastor. Show me in the scriptures whereby the men of faith, when they showed the host their sins and their corruption, they killed all the prophets. They destroyed them. They destroyed those men that will expose their corruption and their sins. And men do that today. When their shallowness is shown, their inabilities are shown, then they are very offensive. And they don't want that. When their weaknesses are exposed, I bless Yahweh for that. Show me my weaknesses, that I may strengthen those things which remain. I want to strengthen the things that remain. I want to make sure that they are strengthened, that I may be ready to see Messiah when he comes. I want that above all things. So show me where I'm falling short. Show me where I need to pull up, Yahweh, because that I want to know. He said, but all these things, verse 21, will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin, no covering, no reason, that they do not understand and know their sins. He said, he that hateth my father, he that hateth me, hateth my father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sinned, but now they have both seen and hate both me and my father. That's what he said. They hate the name of my father and they despise me. He came in that mighty anointing. Men had written off the name of the father. And Yahshua knew he had a father, and his name was not a title, Lord God, either. It was Yahweh. And he knew that. And when he began to speak in that name for the sake of that name, then they began to despise him. And because they hated the Father, they hated him. And when a man despised that name, they despised the name of the Son. For the Son came in the Father's name. And so they despised the Father's name. And when they despised that, they despised him. Oh, my friends, you can sit here all pious all you want to. You know when a man truly hates someone, when you have had distaste for someone, you will say, I even hate to hear that person's name. I don't want to hear their name. You never said that? All right. And so when there's a despite and a despising, they hate to hear that name. You can talk about the person, but just do not mention that name. Fools hate his name. They despise it. Even the most vilest of men can tell you, I know God. They have no complications with that. The most fearless and sinful of men will say to you, I know the Lord. They would tell you that. And they will speak it emphatically. They will tell you that. They will. He has a name that is far above every name. It's a very excellent name. And if you say names have no power, I want to read some things. I want to deal with for the sake of his name. And if you think that they are irrelevant, you are foolish. The scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 11. I want to read 4 verses here. And then I want to drop down to 1 Kings chapter 11. And I want to begin reading at verse 3. 1 Kings. The scripture says, and Solomon, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Now that's what they did. Now that is what the religious spirit does. It turns away one's heart. He was familiar with them, and they turned away his heart. For it came to pass, verse 4, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Yahshua said that the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me at all, because the God of this earth hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see, and they be converted, then they are saved, and they would understand the glorious light of this divine truth. So they turned away Solomon's heart after other gods. And gods are any supreme being or deity that is formulated in your mind. If you actually asked this house, who is God? You all would have a different definition and a different picture of whom he is. And he is not that way. He is known only one way. Yahweh is known by scripture. He is revealed by truth. You can ask you all, who is God? Who is this great one you serve? And you will all give a different definition. You all think you're right. And your application concerning that, that's the truth. We must go back to the book, to the beginning. You must start in elementary. And we must work our way through the ABCs of this truth. And that is just a fact, saints. And it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with Yahweh Almighty, as was the heart of David his father. Now the scripture tells us of these gods that Solomon went after. I want you to hear this. For Solomon, he went after Ashtaroth. And this was the principal female deity, the one that they prayed to for war and fertility. He went after, isn't that amazing, that even that name in the Hebrew tongue is still pronounced the same way, Ashtaroth. Now the scripture says that he went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. And he went after Malcolm, the abomination of the Amorites. And we know how that the children of Israel, and as this nation and the world today, they offer their children unto Molech at Milcom. They offer their babies in the fire of Hinnom. And that is what this generation is doing today. They're putting their children in a place where their little conscience and their minds are seared by evil. Their thoughts and their minds are warped by this vile, evil generation. It is this generation that dictates and speaks unto them. And so that's what Israel did. They offered up their babies unto Molech and Molcham. And they're doing it today in the abortion clinics. They're offering up their babies to Molech and Molcham. I understand why the Father spoke to me concerning even my birth. It was not a blessed birth. It's nothing to revel in or relish. It's born out of a sinful activity, lustful and very vile and wicked. And yet out of the midst of that, He called me before the foundations of the earth, because He was simply going to be my Father and nobody else. And that's my Father. Just Him. Just Him. That's my Father. Him and Him alone. Now the scripture says, and Solomon did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he went not fully after Yahweh as did his father David. Verse 7 says, then Solomon built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabs, every one of these deities. And every last one of them, their names are still pronounced that way. You have the same phonics of their names. Chemosh, Chemosh, Ashtaroth, Moloch. They're pronounced the very same way. Because a god or a deity never lose their identity. The god Jupiter is still pronounced Jupiter. Venus is still Venus. They never lose their identity at all. That is why when Daniel, when they were taken by the king into Babylon, he was given a Babylonian name, Belshazzar, being that the spirit of my God is in you. That was what Daniel's name meant, Belshazzar, that the spirit of Baal, or the spirits of my gods, dwell in Daniel. And so that's why they gave him Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They gave them all names that was strange from the names that Yahweh had birthed them, raised them up for a purpose, that his name, for his name's sake, he may be made known. And he does everything for his name's sake. He built the abominable high places for Moab in the hills before Jerusalem. And for Molech now, it says Milcom one place, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. So he built high places. He built places of worship and contact to these gods. And because he did that because his heart was turned away from Yahweh. So I was given over unto these strange deities, and they all had names. Why is it that our Heavenly Father has no name? Tell me. Why are we ashamed of His name? He has a name. Lachimosh, Molcham, and Molech. And His name is more excellent than their names. They bow at the name of Yahweh. We must get into a spiritual realm in this hour. Your testimony has no power. Oh, I thank the Lord for this. The Lord been good to me. And the Lord, it has no power at all. Say what you will. And they overcame him by the words of their testimony. It's going to take words, my friend. And if you think words have no value, no power, you're wrong. You're going to have a testimony that has the power and the season of the words of life and words that are spiritual. We're his disciples. We continue in His Word. We walk in His way, we're His disciples. And indeed, and truthfully, we are. And we don't know the power of His truth, and it makes us free. And so Solomon began to build these temples unto these deities. They were the heathen gods. They identified them. And when their names were mentioned, there was a certain form of worship that was offered unto them. And so he built their altars in the high places, exceeding the altars of Yahweh. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Now the scripture called them gods. It called them gods. You say that small g. Well, if you look up the word God in the dictionary, it simply tells you that capital means the supreme being or deity or the one of power. Now, which one is that? For Solomon built temples unto all of these, and they were gods. And the scripture says that Yahweh was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other strange gods. But he kept not that which Yahweh commanded. Wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee, he said, I will surely rent the kingdom from thee, and will give it to a servant. Now, could he truly rent that kingdom totally from Solomon? Look down in verse 33. I want to read a couple of verses here. He said, because that they have forsaken me, and they have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David, his father. He said, how be it? Look at this now. How be it? I will not take away the whole kingdom out of thine hand. He said, but I will make him prince all the days of his life. Why? He said, the only reason now, look at Yahweh. He said, for David, my servant's sake. He's only because of David. That's the only reason, because of David. And he identified who he was doing it for. For the sake of David. He said, I will still allow you to remain prince. I won't take all the kingdom from you. But because of my servant, David, for that sake, for that end, for that purpose, I won't do it all. He said, whom I've chosen because he kept my commandments and my statute. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto them, even the 10 tribes. He said, I won't destroy Solomon because of David's sake, because of my servant's sake. That was that's possession there. It's a capital, it's an apostrophe S on that servant. He said, for the sake of David, I will not do it, simply because of David. And that's why Yahshua said, but because of the sake of my father, I will suffer many things, and I have suffered persecution for the sake of his name. And he says, so shall you. For I come in the Father's name, and I bear the Father's name, and you must bear the Father's name as well. For in me is the Father's name, and if you are in me, then you are in the Father. And if David had kept the commandments of Yahweh, Solomon, he would have walked in David. He would have been in David because the kingdom was established with David. Don't forget now, how did that house sought them a king? And they said, Yahweh said, you don't want me to be your king, I'll be your king. And they didn't want that. So they found them a king that was head and shoulder above everyone, Saul. And he gave them a king for their sake. He gave them a king. He didn't want it that way, saints. He wanted to be their king. And he wants to be our master. We have established our high places. Every last one of us got a form of religion and a form of worship. That is not the pure worship of Yahweh. Solomon had all these wives, 300, and all these concubines. And he had to build towers for them all. And that's what you do. You build a tower of honor for this one, for mama, for daddy, for cousins, for kinfolks, and yet there is no esteeming of Yahweh in your heart. But you esteem them. You lift them up. And yet when it comes to Yahweh, there is no exalting of His power, of His name. You despise it. And yet Yahweh wrote in Scripture that we may know the name of these gods. And He called them all by name too. He did. And if we are truly disciples, then we're going to suffer for His name's sake. The Scripture says in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I want to read the first 15 verses. I need to read this that you may understand. The Scripture says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of Yahshua, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue." Now, you understand where he was going, to the synagogue. He wasn't going to some pagan temple. He didn't go to pagan temples. Do you hear me? He sought out letters from the high priest to go to the synagogue. And the high priests were they of the tribe of Levi, the seed of Aaron. They were the Levitical order, and they still were in that hour. I could see if he said he went to the high place of Ashtaroth or Molcham. Paul did not care about those names. He did not care about Ashtaroth or Molech or Molcham. He knew that they were heathens. He gave them over. He let the heathens be. He knew that there were Baals and lords. He let those heathens alone. Now, if that doesn't captivate, he said he sought out letters to go to the synagogues of Damascus. So there were Jews in the synagogue. They were not Gentiles. The Gentiles could not go but into a certain part of the inward courts of the synagogue. That's why Paul got in trouble with the Jews, because he had brought Greeks into the synagogue. That if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Well, what way? Tell me. It was not a strange thing for them to go into the synagogue, for they went there every Shabbat. What way were they walking in that Paul would bring them bound? Tell me. They had to be doing something against that tradition, that law that Paul knew, against the standards that Paul understood, for him to bring them bound. And it certainly wasn't worshiping gods, for there were many gods of that day. And Paul wasn't concerned with that. He knew that there was one, that his name ought not to be mentioned. And he didn't want that name polluted amongst the Gentiles, these filthy Gentiles. He began to see them bringing Gentiles and those that were outside of the natural Israelite order. And so he said, "Priests, we're going to deal with this." And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said we would be persecuted for his name's sake. Now, why were they being persecuted? For the sake of his name. That's what Paul went there, for the sake of that name. Paul didn't like them using that name. And he used the very same phraseology, "Why thou persecutest thou me?" And he said to the apostle that you shall be persecuted for my name's sake. And he said, "Who art thou, Master?" And he said unto him, "I am Yahshua, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick." And the scripture says, and he trembled and astonished. And he trembled and astonished, said, your way, Master, what wilt thou have me to do? And Joshua said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple. Now look at Yahweh, he is so specific. He identifies a certain disciple, and yet our master has no certain name. And there was a certain, a specific disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said Yahweh in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Joshua. And he said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Told him exactly where to go. Didn't say go into the city, but he told him exactly what street to go on. If he's that specific, I believe if he was specific with that name of the street, then he is specific in everything he does. He said, go to a street called Straight now, and inquire in the house of Judas. Told him whose house to go to. One called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. You tell me that the Father, that's the only way he's going to show us in this hour. I'm telling you, saints. I'm telling you. Paul had no New Testament scripture. He had the old text. That's all Paul had. And the scripture says immediately after that he began to preach. I'll show you. He said, the man's name is Ananias, and he put his hand on him that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered Joshua, I've heard by many of this man how much evil now, not good, but how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. He called them saints, didn't he? He said he has done evil to the saints. Why was he doing evil to the saints? There were saints before Yahshua Messiah had come. They walked in the law. And yet this man comes and said, I come in the name of my Father, Yahweh. And all of a sudden this aroused Paul and those men of the Pharisaic order. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. It's the name that they were calling on. And it wasn't no Latin Greek name. It wasn't the name Jesus. It was Yahshua. They call on Yahweh. For divine is his name. And Paul knew that name should not be uttered. He knew it. But Yahshua said unto him, go thy way. Look at what he said to it now. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and now the children of Israel. For I will show you how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he suffered Yahshua for the name's sake of the Father. That's why the Jews wanted to kill him when he said, I come in my Father's name. And nothing has changed. Yahweh, the only way those folks, Paul, understood that name, he was brought to the light. And that's the only way you're going to understand his name. Our tradition, Paul had a tradition to kill anyone they called the name of Yahshua. And many have tried to kill me because I call on that glorious name. They've come against me. They've smote me. They've tried to kill me because of that name. That's why they've been angry, because of that name. Paul said, I don't care if they call on Jesus. I don't care if they call on John. But don't use that name your way. And saying this man is Yahshua Messiah. He said, but they must suffer for my name's sake. Well, he came in the Father's name. He and the Father, they are one. They are one. And there's no separation between Yahshua and the Father. For he came in his Father's name. And that name is important.
Paul here, every name was precise, with precision, and it was important in every aspect. And so in that last day of that time, man that was blinded, Yahweh opened his eyes to reveal the glory of his name on a road to Damascus to persecute the saints, to kill them. He opened up a revelation unto this man that was a very brilliant man, that was a very knowledgeable man, that was a man that excelled far above his equals. A man that had zeal and great knowledge and understanding. Don't tell me that the texts were written in Greek. I don't believe that. If only two men in Scripture could have written any Greek or spoken, and that is Luke and Paul. The rest could not. It was simple men. And the anointing of Yahweh moved upon them. That's why you have what they call the Septuagint. The Septuagint, if you don't know what that is, I'll tell you. The Septuagint is the Hebrew text translated into Greek. Now that's what the Septuagint is. And so everyone that called upon this name, why? Because they were in the temple. They had called on Ananias, Elohim. And all of a sudden, they were all in the synagogue. They had called. That's what the priest had done. They had taken that name Yahweh out, put Adonai, El, Mighty One. And all of a sudden, there's this uproar. They're using this name. And Paul said, that shouldn't be. So he sought counsel to handle them. The scripture did call them saints. So they were saints. They were saints. They were not evil men. They called them saints. And look at verse 18. It said, immediately there fell from his eyes. No, in verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Yahweh, even Yahshua that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul certain days with the disciples which were in Damascus, and straightway he preached Yahshua in the synagogue that he is the Son of Yahweh. That's what he preached straightway now. He didn't preach Christ, the Son of God. No, he didn't preach that. He was amongst Jews. He preached Yahshua, the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. That's what he preached. Paul knew what he was preaching. That ain't transliterated. That ain't translated. He preached Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, immediately. Why? Because he knew this Father. And his scales were removed off his eyes. His heart was cleansed. And immediately he saw the light. And that's what he preached. No, he didn't preach that. He preached the salvation that came through Yahweh. And Yahshua, it is Yahweh's salvation. He didn't preach no Jesus Christ. He preached Yahshua. He did not use that name. Say what you will or may. That name was not used. It is not translated Jesus Christ. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll show you something in Scripture. In the New Testament. All right. Glory to Yahweh. I'll show you something. All right. Okay, then. I read that in the Old Testament about Ashtaroth, didn't I? Was that in the Old Testament? Huh? Now, the New Testament, it should be translated different, shouldn't it? It should be transliterated different, shouldn't it? All right. Okay. Acts 7, chapter, verse 35. So, I read that about Moloch and Mocom out of the Old Testament, right? So, if that's the case, then that name should change when it comes to the New Testament. Say what you want to. Now, I want to read something beginning in the 35th verse. You know this account. It's Stephen. It says, this Moses, Acts chapter 7, verse 35. He said, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who have made thee ruler and a judge? And saying, did Yahweh send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush? He brought them out after that he has shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. Stephen said, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the assembly in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him out from them, and in their heart turned back again into Egypt. I know that spirit. Because men do not want the leaders that you always place over them. They don't want men that you always instruct. He said, I will give you shepherds, or men of faith after my own heart. And they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. This is the final generation. It's one that is very corrupt and say, no, we will not have him. So they thrust Moses out. They didn't want Moses. And men today say, well, I tell you what, either you go or I go. Well, you will go your way to hell, my friend. I will stand in faith. I receive his instruction, however, by the words of faith, as I study, as he speaks to my heart by the scripture. He says, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not want what is become of him. We don't know, we don't care what has become of him. You give us a god. So that's what man is saying, that they give us a god. Give us a god. Give us a god, our own bellies. Give us our own lusts. Tell us we can do what we want. Tell us we can do anything we want, we desire. That's what they're crying. Give us a god. Stephen said, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol. And they rejoiced in the work of their own hand. Then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heaven. Now there must be a host of heavens to worship. The scriptures say Yahweh gave him up to worship the host of heaven. You can say what you want to. There's a host in the heavens. And he gave them up to worship the host of the heavens. The powers that have fallen from the heavens. He gave them up to worship the host of the heavens. He said, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? He said, yea, ye took up the tabernacle of what? Molech? Huh? I just read that in the Old Testament. The name hasn't changed one bit. Why has Yahweh's name changed? And his son, this is a vile generation. He said, they built the tabernacle unto Molech. Stephen spoke that. He said, and the star of your God, Rephan, figures which he made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle in the wilderness. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua in the possession of the Gentiles, whom Yahweh drove out of the face before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. We found favor before Yahweh and desired to find a tabernacle for Yahweh of Jacob, for the Yahweh of Jacob, the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith Yahweh? And what is the place of my rest? Have not my hand made all these things? And then he tells them why. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. And so that name Molech, for that name's sake, if it was Molech then, why is it Molech now? If it was Molech in the Hebrew it back then when they wrote it, why did it stay that in Greek now? If that's Greek, tell me. If that was the old covenant, it's written in Greek, in Hebrew. So for the argument's sake that the New Testament is written in Greek, then why did that translate into Molech from the old Aramaic into the Greek or the English language? Why did it translate into Molech? spell the same, same word, so does Yahweh. It transliterates the same. They have done all they can to expunge his beautiful name. And that's why men despise him, because I haven't heard that. I know you haven't. There are things that he revealed unto that wicked house that they had heard. That's why they stopped their head, their ears, and they ran upon Stephen with their teeth, and they bit him and they killed him. And that's what men are doing today. Because they're stiff-necked, they're uncircumcised in heart. They do always resist the holy anointing of Yahweh. They resist his spirit. And so they seek to kill them that would show them this divine knowledge and truth. And that's what Stephen was trying to show this rebellious, wicked house. He called him Molech here. And Moses, Yahweh said, because of Molech, the children, they have offered up they offered up their babies unto the children of Molech and Molcham. It hasn't changed. Search it all you want, it's still the same. The word of Yahweh hasn't changed. His name hasn't changed. And that's why Paul went to wake those saints. And he began to preach in the name of Yahshua. He didn't preach in the name of Jesus. Say what you want to. He preached in the name of Yahshua, Messiah. Let me go back to the ninth chapter. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Yahshua in the synagogue, that he is the Son of Yahweh. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem? You think they were calling on some Greek name in Jerusalem? That's not so, saints. A man's name, a proper name, never change. From no language. He said, and came hither for that intent, that he may bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell in Damascus, proving that this is the very Messiah that they were looking for. He proved that this was the one that Yahweh was sent from Scripture, from Old Testament. That is how he proved it. He had no New Testament. He preached from the Old Covenant, from the Law of Moses, from the prophets. And he proved that this was the Messiah. You got to go back to the Old to prove that he is Messiah. That's the truth. And the new witness of that truth. And after many days now were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to what? To kill him. They took counsel to kill him, the Jews, because of that name. They took counsel to kill him. You can say Jesus all you want to the Jews. They say, that don't mean nothing to them. That's the truth. And that's why these perverts are afraid. They don't even want to say, you're sure. They say, yes, sure, because the Jews, they still say that these Gentiles shouldn't use that name. They will still tell you that name is too holy to be mentioned by mere filthy Gentiles. I'm a son. So I know my father. I'm going to call him by name. No, I don't. I don't know a natural father, so I can't call a natural father by name. But I know my divine heavenly father. And I'm going to call him by name too. That's right, glory. And so when he began to preach in this name, here the same man had killed them that preached in that name. And now he's preaching in this name. Now he's preaching in it. No, he wasn't preaching Jesus Christ is coming. He preached Yahshua Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. That's what he preached. He came in his father's name, Yahweh. That's what he preached. That's the message he preached. And those Jews, they say, he can't do that. You got to realize after Pentecost, that was a great stirring. Peter, those brothers began to preach. And there were many running in the synagogue calling that name and praising that name. And those Jews didn't like that. And so there were letters sent to Paul to the chief priest saying, look, there are folks calling on Yahweh. We can't stop it. And then they're saying this, Yahshua Messiah, he come in the Father's name. And they're using that name. And Paul said, give me a letter. I will go waste every last one of them. I take them back bound. He said, I don't care who it is, woman, whomever. They call that name. He said, I'm bringing them back. And so when Yahweh touched him, the words of faith, when this witness of Yahshua, Paul knew the Father. I believe Paul knew of Yahweh. But it was something when Yahshua spoke to him, that was something different. Because it was a witness in the old covenant that this Messiah would come. And Paul proved to them, because he preached out of the Old Testament, that this is the very Messiah. This is your way in flesh to redeem and to save man from his corruption and his sins. And he didn't preach no Latin message there, no Greek message. He preached Hebrew. Glory to the Father. Yeah, I'm mad at the devil. He has no power. The scripture says in Daniel, I want to read a few more scriptures. Daniel chapter 4. You cannot get a thorough understanding just from the new or the old. You must have the new and old. And you must get an understanding of the old before you can get a great comprehension of the new. And that's a fact. That's just it. That's it. Let me read this expeditiously. Daniel chapter 4, verse 4. Look at this. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. And I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring unto me, bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation. But at the last, look at what it says now. It says, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying. Now that's why he was given that name, Belteshazzar. For that spirit of his gods ought to have been imparted into them. But Daniel and the Hebrew boys would not eat the dainties of the king's offering. And so they did not receive that spirit. Now there were a host of those young men that ate the food and drank the wine. And they received that spirit. That's what they did. And so when they received that, they became subject unto the king's ordinance. But Daniel, they didn't eat that food. They didn't eat the king's food. They wouldn't eat that. They say, give us pulse. Just give us just some mush. That's what they ate. And because they had confidence in their Elohim, Yahweh, then he opened up their hearts to understanding and great revelation. And even their countenance seemed more fair than those that had the wine and all the good stuff. That is what that name means. That the gods, or the spirits of the gods, dwell in Daniel. Well, we have the spirit of Yahweh. See, that's why they named him after their God. And that's why Yahshua was named after his father. That the spirit of the father is in him. And that's why we are named after Yahshua. That the spirit of Yahshua, Master, is in us. And so now you say, Nazareth, they couldn't leave their names, those Hebrew names, they changed them. Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. For the spirit of our God dwell in him. For the name means that. And every name has an importance. Every name. It is significant. It is a significant thing about a man. The name. And Yahweh, his name is significant. It's not Lord. It sure ain't Baal. It is sure ain't God. It ain't Lord God. I am the Lord and my name is God. That doesn't measure up. He is Yahweh. And his name is Yahweh. That's it. That's what a bold man would say. My name is Jimmy and I'm Jimmy. That's it. Huh? You take it away. I'm Jimmy. I'm the one. You're Jimmy here. I'm Jimmy. And that's my name. That's it. And then when you begin to look at Jimmy, if he has those attributes that cause your heart to tremble, you get a little fearful. Now I want to read a few scriptures before I close. In 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 21 and verse 22. I'm going to read quickly because I want to read this. He's talking about the children of Israel as Yahweh began to bless them. And he said, and turn ye not aside. 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 21.
He said, and turn ye not aside, for then shall you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver. For they are vain, they're empty, they're fleshly. He says, for Yahweh will not forsake his people. Why? For his great name's sake. Because it hath pleased Yahweh to make you his people. Why couldn't he forsake them? Because he knew the heathens would have blasphemed his name. And for his name's sake, he could not forsake his people, even though they had sinned. Now you read that, he'll tell you what he's going to do to them now. Even though they had sinned and turned out the strange things. He said, but for his name's sake, for his name's sake, for the sake of his name now, for the sake of his name, for the purpose and to the end that his name may not be desecrated or destroyed. He said, I'll deal with you. I won't forsake you. Even though you sin, but I will correct you. I'm going to chastise you and I will correct you. And he did too. Psalms 23 and 3. You know this one. David said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, Paul should suffer many things for my name's sake. And we should suffer many things for his name's sake. That's what he says. That's what he says. And he means what he says. That name is a glorious name and a righteous name. Amid our shame of it, I'm not. They hear other men say Jesus and that not. I'm going to say Yahshua, Messiah. I'm not going to be ashamed of his name. Yahweh. I don't care what they think. I don't care how they feel. Isn't that something? How wicked you were. You were cursed. You would tell lies. That ain't his name. You're a fool for sitting here. That's his name. Just like Molech's name never changed from the Old Testament to the New, Yahweh's name has never changed. Aren't they gods? He called them gods, and yet they all have names. And yet this God that you say you know as God, Lord, he has no name. That's absurd. That is downright utterly foolish. This is how this tradition has blinded our eyes, just like it blinded Paul's eyes. Come on, Paul knew the scripture, and yet after his eyes were anointed, you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And after his eyes were anointed, and the scales fallen off, the scriptures say that the scales of Leviathan are his pride. That's why his eyes are closed, because of his pride, his unwillingness to obey and to hear what the Father says. And we need to anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. And when the scales were taken off, then he could see clearly, this is your Messiah. This is what Isaiah talked about, and Jeremiah, and Obadiah, they talked about him. And he immediately preached Messiah from the Old Testament. And he didn't use Jesus either. He didn't use it. It's truth. He called him Yahshua Messiah. But he said that them Jews say, you ain't getting back with that. They sought to kill him. Didn't they do that with Yahshua? When he said, I come in my Father's name, it's the same thing, for his name's sake. Psalms 25:11. David says, for thy name's sake, O Yahweh, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What is great? Oh, his iniquity was great. And also is the name of Yahweh, too. He said, for your name's sake, pardon my iniquity. For your name's sake. N-A-M-E, apostrophe S. For your name's sake. O Yahweh, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Psalms 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalms 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. For the sake of thy name, that thy name will not be blasphemed or desecrated or lied. For your name's sake, lead and guide me for the glory and the beauty of thy name. He has a beautiful name, saints. And he wants to be known by his name. That was great jealousy. Can you imagine he watching Moses, Solomon, of all the things he asked for, he asked to be able to lead his people, to go in and out before them. And then all of a sudden, in this old man's age, a fool he was, he building this town, he placed this great insignia, this memorial, to the god Ashtaroth. Believe me, their names were put there. That's why Paul, when he came to Athens, he saw this to the unknown God. He saw that sign. They put the names there.
Chemosh, Molech, Molcham. And yet his name was not even exalted, even in his house. His heart was grieved. They've given him a title and given all these other gods great names of esteeming. And yet he had no name. They wouldn't even call him by name. We better get our foolish mind out of our flesh. You get the mind of Yahshua what we need. Psalm 79. David said, "Help us, O Elohim, for our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." For the sake of your name, purge our sins away. For the glory of thy name, purge it away. And that's why for the sake, Yahshua came for the sake of his name's sake, to purge sins away. All honor and glory is unto the Father, saints. This tradition has taught us and corrupt our ability to understand the profoundness of this truth. The Father seeketh such. The Father does. That worship him in spirit and in truth. Not Messiah. The Father does. The Father seeketh such. When he went to that garden and prayed, who do you think he prayed to? God, help me, God. No. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed is your name, Yahweh. He didn't say God. I don't believe he said that. Cried out unto the Father. He did. And Yahweh heard him. Yeah, he did. They answered him. He says, all right. He says, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready. In Psalms 106 verse 8. Psalms 106 verse 8. All this is dealing with the children of Israel. In Psalms 106 verse 8. He said, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. And all of their sin because of his name now. You tell me, if he's doing all this for the sake of his name, you tell me he doesn't, there's no name for the Father. Something wrong with us, saints. He's doing all this for the sake of his name. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Why? That he might make his mighty power be known. Now, they just said a God delivered Israel. No, they want to know what God. What's his name? Or they were praying to Ashtaroth. That was a god of war. Phoenician god. You hear that? That Ben-Hur and his friends say, we pray to Eros. Eros, the god of war. You got this one god, you Jew. We got Eros. He began to name all of his god. He said, we're Romans. You're Jew. That's what he said. Eros. It's our god of war. We have Eros and all of his gods. For strength, we got this god. For this god, I have your way. He's my strength, my peace, my joy. He's all that I need. Psalms 109, verse 21. Psalms 109, verse 21. But do thou to me, O Yahweh, my Elohim, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For your name's sake, Father, deliver your people, for your mercy is good. Psalms 143:11, David said, quicken me, O Yahweh, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Make me alive for thy name's sake. Quicken me, Yahweh. Quicken me for your name's sake. For the sake of your name, that it may be known and glorified, that I made alive because of that name. Yahshua gave us that name, that we may have life in that name, the Father. Yahshua is not our Father. Yahweh is our Father. He is a propitiation. He's just a price paid to bring knowledge of the Father and to reveal the Father unto us. He is not our Father. It is your way. And every father has a name. That's why when a child is a bastard, he knows not a father. I don't know a father in the natural sense. I really don't. I just know a name that's been given to me. And I've held on to that name for I'm 48 years old. I've held on to that name close to 38 years. Just that name. Although I don't know the man, I've held on to that name. R.J. Nichols. I've held on to that name as a father. I've held on to that name. I heard it one time and that was enough to remember that name. R.J. Nichols. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 9. Isaiah 48, 9, 10, and 11. Isaiah chapter 48. He always says, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger. And for my praise, I will refrain for thee. That I cut thee not off. He said, I'm going to do this for my name's sake. Because of my name, I won't cut you off. I won't destroy you. He said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He said, for my own sake. This is Yahweh. For my own sake, even my own sake, will I do this. I'm doing it for my sake. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. He's not going to give his name unto Molech, Mokam. He's not going to give it unto Jesus. He's not going to give it unto the Lord. He's not going to give it unto God. He said, how's my name been polluted? He said, for my sake, for my own sake, for my own sake, for my purpose. He said, I'm not going to let you do it. He's not going to let us do it, saints. We can think we are, but he's not going to let us do it. Jeremiah chapter 14. Two more scriptures, and I'm going to close. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 7. Jeremiah, O Yahweh, though our iniquity testify against us, and it does, Father, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backsliding are many, and we have sinned against thee. He said, for thy name's sake. He's doing all this for the sake of his name. He's causing us to get uncomfortable for the sake of his name. For his name's sake. He's causing your tradition to be torn down for the sake of his name. You understand that? You better read the scriptures. You don't study, saints. You better delve into this. This is life. I don't say you go without not doing it. I really don't. I don't say you go through the day without not giving him time. I really don't, saints. I really don't. I really don't. John says in 1 John, this is good here. I like to read all that, but I'm just going to read one verse. I know what it says, but I want to read this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. 1 John. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Same name's sake, spelled the same way. You can try to twist it all you want to. I'm not twisting scripture. I'm putting line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you need that for the wicked. That's why you had to do it that way. He said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Because we know that we have forgiveness in this glorious name, and our sins are not forgiven, and the sake of his name is destroyed. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, last verse. He's talking here to the church of Ephesus. You know that. He said, and thou hast borne. He said, you have patience. And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. For the sake of his name you have labored. And he has a name. And those assemblies that John wrote unto that spanned the dispensation of time, I do believe that that name was the only name that they knew. There was not a Greek Latin name, but it was the name of Yahweh, Yahshua Messiah. And they had the text to know that. 20 years after Yahshua was gone, they had no legitimate New Testament scripture. And then they had a letter here and a letter there that was passed on. There is no original text, period, anywhere. It has all been copies after copies and copies and copies and copies and copies and copies. That's what we have. There's no legitimate piece of original text nowhere. They found something some years ago, I think in the 1838 or 1930 on the Dead Sea Scroll, whereby they had a little text of scripture, but it still had the tetragrammaton of the name of Yahweh on there. And that was some of the original papyrus, just a little bit. There were over 40,000 documents of scripture, what they call scripture and text. You couldn't even put it all in a book, saint. It would be that thick, and that's the truth. How is he going to do it? By his spirit, like he did it from the beginning. And the spirit of Yahweh moved upon the deep. His spirit. See, you got deep darkness and your deep sin and deep resentment. It's going to take his spirit to move upon you. That's always going to be done. And everything is done for His name's sake. For the sake of His name. For His named sake. And that means He possesses a name. And for the sake of His name, you suffer persecution. You endure the afflictions. For the sake of His name. His name has not changed no more than Molech's name change. Is Molech in the New Testament, is Molech in the Old. It has not changed one bit at all. Why did His name change? Or why is there no reference to His name? He has a name. And His name is Yahweh. And He has not changed. And is not going to change. Despite your feelings and your emotions and your traditions. It's not going to change. He's an everlasting King and I bless Him for that. Yes. I was born in a cursed environment, but He has blessed me, and I bless Him for that. Oh, yes, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. As old song says, I'm blessed, and I am blessed, and He has blessed me, and I thank Him for that. I thank Him. I'm a Paul. Paul was a brilliant man of understanding. How many years do you think Paul had studied? How many years do you think it took him to learn 13 different languages and the customs and the laws of the Pharisees? And all of a sudden in his life, here the scales open off his eyes that the revelation of this divine truth is truly revealed. Not by traditions of his fathers and stipulations and things that have been inscribed and written in there, but the veil was moved from his heart, and then did Paul understand that he had to change his name from Saul to Paul. Because he was not the same man. And his name is Paul still under the Hebrew text. He didn't call him Paul in Greek. It's Paulus. Paulus. It's the same. And we just said Paul. Why is it that Yahshua's name has changed to Jesus? It's not so. Man, and that won't go back to any of you. You don't have to worry about that. Glory. If you deny Him, you're ashamed of Him. He's going to be ashamed of you before the Father. And that's a fact. I don't care what you think. Yahweh brought Paul to that moment of enlightenment. And so He's taking us down the Damascus Road, saints, that He may speak to every last one of us and to show us what we must suffer for His name's sake. This world is going to crumble, and it's not long. That's my prayer. Father, sure, it's going to cause some prayer needs of His people. We're going to find out who is really His people. Sure. I want it to. You're going to suffer. Thank Yahweh for that. But for His name's sake. For His name's sake. He'll bring me through.